I love it. It's like the strongest mustard I'll ever taste. It's great. It's great, but I can only have a little bit and that's it. Okay, I swear. Sorry, sorry. ARP juice, ARP juice. So, Rex, dude, I started watching you just around the launch of Diablo 4, and then I started watching your Diablo 4 content, your Diablo 3 content, your PoE content, your Last Epoch stuff.
Oh my
I didn't
God.
play a lot of, I didn't play any Diablo 3, essentially. I played very little Diablo 4, but I just love the way that you explain things. Things that I don't understand or probably could never come to understand, but it's just so chill listening to you, and you lay it out in a manner as clear as day. What really caused you to go and like have this really chill, really in-depth, but also beginner-friendly style?
Well, first of all, I mean, wow, that's the nicest opener ever. Well, thank you, man. That's nice of you to say. So I'll just be totally honest with you.
Go for it.
When I first started streaming, I had it in my mind that no, and I started streaming Diablo 4, no one was ever going to care about me or my stream or my, actually, it wasn't even going to do a YouTube, but eventually when I added YouTube, no one was going to care unless I was rank one. The leaderboards are pretty competitive in Diablo 3. They actually have a leader, an in-game leaderboard. You go for them. So I was spending all of my time thinking about how do I win? How do I get first place? And then people will watch me. And then as I was making my builds and I didn't have so many viewers, the number one thing that people always wanted to chat about, they didn't want to talk about rank one strategies. They didn't really care if I got rank one or not. What they wanted to know is what build was I playing? Why did I do this instead of that? And what I told them was, is I'm sure there's a lot of guides out there. There's Riker, there's Leviathan, there's all the people that have been here for years. Why don't go watch their video? And what I always got, the response I always got from that is, no, Rax, I want you to make a video. I want to play what you're doing. And I was like, okay. And then I had no video editing skills. I'd never made a video before. If you ever watch my videos, there's no production in them at all. I open Paint, I draw with a mouse. It's terrible all the time. And it's still that way 6 years later. And I was just like, okay, so what am I supposed to do? Okay, well, here's the skills, and here's this, and here's that. Here's a Paint diagram. Here's what you do, and here's what you don't do. And let me show you some gameplay, and let me tell you what I'm doing. And then I threw it up on YouTube. I'm like, everyone's going to hate this. This is so much worse than all the people who actually have a background in this. And people are like, I love this. This is so simple. I actually understood what you said. Thank you, Rax. Oh, will you make another one? And I was like, oh, so I don't know. It honestly just came from that wasn't my initial strategy. I had to change my strategy based upon, it's not even a strategy, man. It's actually much, I feel much more rewarded to help people get into the game than I am to kill any boss or whatever. Like you probably know, you and I have played probably so many video games for so many years that you can only get so many boss kills and feel great about it. Just listening to what really made people happy just made me switch everything that I did. And for some reason, that super simple, plain outline for videos seems to have some kind of an appeal to it. And that's all it was.
Yeah, the MS Paint plus Google Docs combo. I'm not a fan of Notepad, so I'm so glad you use Google Docs, dude. Thank you so much. I mean, it just has that appeal to it. I love it. So, and it's inspired me to do certain things like that. But you just can do it one. You do your videos in one take for the most part. Like it seems like you do.
Always, yeah, we don't.
Yeah.
It's sometimes I make a horrible mistake and I'll my brother is the one who actually cuts it up and uploads it to YouTube.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll make a horrible mistake and I'll be like, all right, listen, 26 minutes in, I tried to explain something and it was the worst explanation ever. Cut that out and I paused for 20 seconds, then I just redid it. So sometimes in my video you'll see like a cut, but other than that, nah, I just hit record and just start talking and hope for the best, really.
It's an excellent skill, man, because your videos, you know, they're decently long for like guide-based content and the manner in which you approach them. It's not like a whole bunch of fast cuts, editing, images popping up on screen. It's literally just you, your guide, sitting there explaining it from step one to step 20. Being able to do that, that's a great skill. Have you always been like that in life, or did you acquire that as you started to iteratively change from being the god gamer and the god to the god explainer? Or
if I'm ever having a bad day, I know who I'm gonna call. Thank you for all the compliments, man. I mean, I'm you and a lot of other. I, by the way, I guess
I'm just speaking the truth, dude. Like I don't mean to interrupt you, but I like I've been watching you guys for so long. Like I watch a lot of these people. Like I'll stand right there. My standing desk is right there. And I work with like spreadsheets and everything all day long. And I just turn on people's videos and I try to ingest information. And I always turn on your videos. You release them at like 8 a.m., 9 a.m. usually. So I'm like getting my morning stuff together. And I just turn it on. And it's great. So sorry for interrupting you. But yeah, have you been iteratively building on that? Or have you always been like that?
This guy knows my content better than anybody. Let me interject one thing. I have heard from a lot of people. I told people I was going to talk to you. Just to reciprocate here, a lot of people say that they love your content. They say that, and I was a little worried about this. I told him, I was like, uh-oh, he's like Mr. Positive. He has a super great attitude. I'm like, oh no, I am... Like on my YouTube, I'm known as the really nice guy, but on my stream, I am known as not the nice guy. Let's put it that way. It can be, I can lose everything very quickly. So a lot of people say great things about you too, man. Okay. So you're wondering about like the conversation piece and explaining it.
Yeah.
Well, I had a very good speech and debate teacher in high school, and our high school was that was our thing. We won speech,
really?
We won state speech and debate like 30 years in a row. The streak might still be going. I should Google it. I haven't checked up on it, but we had some really, really good speech and debate teachers. And hilariously enough, the number one key point, the key takeaway was, it has actually nothing to do with speaking or nonverbal communication or anything like that. It has to do with listening. They say people are bad at listening. And when you aren't listening to your opponent's words or arguments, that's when you lose. So actually, in our speech and debate classes, we spent all this time doing listening exercises. But in my career, before I became a streamer, I started off at an insurance company at the bottom, just changing phone numbers and addresses, but I leveled up and eventually became in a training role. And when I was in a training role, I remembered all the previous roles that I had, and I remembered all the trainers that I had. And a lot of times they would teach me some really great things, but I could remember in my mind all the times that I was really confused. And so when I was training people, I was trying to remove all of those really complicated things and trying to give them like a bunch of building blocks that were super easy to understand. And then we add in, you know, the extra stuff layer by layer. And then it seemed to make a lot of difference for them because their confidence was so high from the beginning, right? Whenever you didn't put any of the difficult things in the beginning, their confidence was high. So then you introduce a difficult concept and their morale just carries them to victory. So I've tried to just implement the same strategies into my videos. If there's a really complicated mechanic that makes people do a lot of damage, I'll just be like, here's the 5-second version of it. And it just makes you do a lot of damage. If you want the full, explanation, here's a clip of me on Twitch explaining it for 30 minutes. It's just a balance. So I did have some experience training in my previous role before I came in. And I think that combined with the teacher that I had in high school really helped me.
I think it translates really well to your YouTube and your Twitch, which I actually watch on YouTube now. Sorry, the quality is better than on Twitch. So thanks for streaming on YouTube, Rax.
Yeah, man.
It translates really well to your style of content. And you can almost view a lot of the viewers as people you're training, essentially. And I don't know about you, but my favorite people that the people that I keep returning to time after time are mentors in my life, people who have trained me well and set me on my own path to do great things. So I can imagine you've built like a very, very faithful audience, no matter where you're going, Path of Exile 2, Diablo 4, Diablo 3, Torchlight Infinite 10, whatever down the line, right? And they're going to follow you because you've done such a good job training them. I feel like it's translated very, very well, and I can see that in your content. It makes total sense. Where you you look at all the complicated building blocks, you say, here is the easy version of the complexity. You can learn the rest of it later. I can explain it in depth during one of my marathon streams. You can just come and chat. And yeah, I feel like that's what's making it work, man. And mad respect to you for all the stuff you've done. That video you put out, I think, what was it, maybe 6-7 months ago, talking about just your journey. Like, it was like the 6-year mark or the 5-year mark of your 10-year journey. Man, that was a nice video, dude. Okay. Nice video. I'll stop with the glazing. Okay. I'll stop. But it's true. So, okay. So with that out of the way, my good sir, Path of Exile 2. First impressions on it, man. For people who might not watch you, what are your thoughts on it? Just very surface level.
Well, anybody who watches my stream all day long would probably be surprised to hear me say this, but it's actually very positive. Like, if you watch me stream, I'm just mad about everything. Everything needs to be changed. I can't believe Grinding Gear Games did this or that. Oh, this gives me nothing. How could this have went live? But actually, for an early access, I think it's the strongest product that we've had I can ever remember. Everything here has the building blocks that will just make a godly game. There's a huge debate about POE1's better than POE2. I think that they're very different, but I think with a little bit of iterative work and a lot of probably easy things to solve, a lot of fine-tuning things, I think Path of Exile 2 could end up being a better game than POE1, at least for me. I'm very impressed with what I'm seeing, even though like there's many areas of improvement across the entire game. I think Grinding Gear Games is just going to continue to soar, you know, from the, I watched the video about their like humble beginnings or whatever. And
yeah, by Gavrin, that one.
Yeah. And yep. it just makes you want to root for them even yes. more. So I'm very positive about Path of Exile 2's future.
Definitely. I get that from your videos. And one of the first vids I put out after Path of Exile 2's launch was like 2 days after. I got a lot of hate for it. It was essentially me telling people, hey, the game just came out. Yeah, it's early access. We can provide feedback. But I wouldn't like write it off just yet. Because I took a week, maybe a little bit longer to get to maps. And in my opinion, the campaign is the first three acts, sorry, I'll correct myself, best part of the game for me right now. I think that has gone through so much polish, so much iteration. They've probably been playing that for 5 years, and then they just started working on the end game in full when Diablo 4 revealed the Spirit Born, which was 5 months ago or so, and this is what they were able to get, and that is where all the problems just unleashed. I don't know, how quick did you get to end game, and do you kind of share that sentiment, or is the campaign not as good as I might think it is?
I could not. I'm in complete alignment with you of your assessment of it. So one thing about me that might be different from you, when POE2 launched a couple of weeks ago, that was the first time I had ever played it. I have never played it for even a single second. I never flew somewhere. I never secretly had access.
I was looking for you at those events, by the way. I was like, where's Rax? He has to be here. Come on.
One day we're going to have to meet up and go to Chipotle 100%. Or something.
Yeah, dude. Okay. Sorry. You also got me on Chipotle. So screw you, man. They built one 3 minutes from my house during early access. I think
that's
I got
the dream.
Chipotle 10 out of the 14 first days of early access. Not even kidding.
You're making me proud, man. You're making me proud. By the way, where's the Chipotle sponsor for all the POE2 streamers? Where is it? And give us coupon codes to give free food to chat. Wait, where is it? I mean, might as well throw it out there, right?
They do free delivery on weekends too? Just here, at least. It's It's like a promo. Just crazy. So,
so life's anyway, good over there.
I had to interject.
The campaign feels, again, in the grand scheme of game design, the campaign problems seem so minor compared to the end game problems. True. People say, oh, we don't have good loot. So they're able to literally the first business day, they just gave you more orbs and they made the bosses guaranteed drop a rare. And that did make a huge difference. I cleared the campaign 4 times and the first time was way harder than the other 3. And no, I did not give them twink gear. So
good on you. Authentic. Exactly.
Those were not minor changes. The end game, it's exactly what they said. They said, we pulled everybody off of working on Path of Exile 2, and in a couple of months, we threw together an end game. There are pieces, almost every facet of the end game, I think, can be and needs to be improved. But for them just sitting there for a few months and throwing that together, that is already almost a better endgame system than a lot of other games have built with multiple years of it being released. So I'm much more mad about the endgame as I'm playing on my stream. I can't stand like the on-death explosions or the way towers are. Like, I get really mad, but deep down I know it's going to be okay. They'll be able to fix it. So the way that you've described it in your assessment is exactly how I feel.
Which act of the first 3 was your favorite? Can be for any reason. Doesn't need to be like, oh, this is the best act by far. It's like, oh, this visuals or just the way it played.
I would tell you it's act 3, but and the reason why is because I was getting pissed off in act 1 and 2. Act 1 was pissing me off because I was new to the game and getting my ass kicked by everybody, and I didn't have good gear. I didn't have crafting mats. And it's never going to be Act 2 because the caravan still confuses me. Like, no! I never know where the hell I am. I never know if I'm in the overworld or in the underground. I never know where I'm supposed to go, ever. It's never Act 2. And then Act 3, I had my build online, and I was actually able to do stuff. So
for me, it's Act 3.
So let me guess, your favorite was Act 2 or what?
I loved Act 2. That's so good. Oh, but I can't believe the Act 3 take. That's the real contrarian take, because people feel like Act 3 is such a slug. I didn't necessarily see that. I saw Act 3 as where the difficulty for me really leapt up on my first playthrough. Did you not feel that way? Did you feel like your build was on at that point?
I felt like I had actually made a build at that point. I felt usually stronger the further that I went. And also, another difference for me is it was my first time playing. I didn't know to, you know, use a transmute and then an AUG. I played POE 1, but it wasn't immediately obvious to me. Different. I didn't know vendors were strong. I didn't know I should regal, when I should exalt. Didn't know when I should out. And then by Act 3, I'm like, bro, at least I have yellows on and I have some points. And, you know, I have some spark damage nodes. And I could actually do stuff.
Oh, you started with a sorceress, not a warrior, dude. Come on. Can I even trust your experience here? Honestly,
dude, like you want to know why I didn't go warrior? Because from what I was hearing, everyone was going warrior. I thought warrior was going to end up being like the greatest class ever. Because everyone's like, oh, yeah, go Titan and the two headed maces and just smash everything. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do something different. Let me go sorceress and let me do something different. But then then the cast on freeze was too strong. I was like, hell yeah, I'm so glad I went sorceress, and I got nerfed the next day. I'm like, okay, there it goes.
In Act 3, and I know you've been loving the bosses of Path of Exile 2 in Act 3, do you have any standouts for which boss was the most fun to fight first time? Or
for me, it's by far Doriani. I love the voice acting there. I loved how he was taunting you the whole way running through the temple. He was my favorite by far.
Ooh, yeah.
Big standout boss.
Very good first fight. And I'll ask it. I think I know the answer. Do you care at all about the lore and story of Path of Exile?
I really don't. Here's the thing. I do like lore and story. I love like Final Fantasy VII, for example. That's my favorite game of all time. In ARPGs, I'm trying to zoom, man. I'm trying to zoom. I'm trying to kill 10,000 monsters per day. I cannot be bothered with lore. Like, people, it isn't often, but like, for example, in Diablo, sometimes people ask me, like, do you know anything about the lore of Diablo? And I say, yes, I do. Diablo was a nice guy. He went to Chipotle for lunch. It was closed, and he became the primeval. Can't really blame him. That's my lore for Diablo 4. It makes sense. That's it. There's nothing more to it.
That's totally fine. And a lot of people approach Path of Exile in the same manner. I only ask because, damn, dude, that fight unleashes some bombs for the enthusiasts like myself in the community that we've been geeking out about. But I'll just refrain from approaching it here. What would your canon of Path of Exile be? I'm curious. I know Diablo is related to Chipotle. Is maybe Path of Exile like Qdoba or some other fast food restaurant?
I think it'd be a Chipotle again. Let's put them both where we want them to be. Okay. Here's the problem. I don't even know the lore. Maybe you can educate me. Like, Katava is a bad person in Katava. Okay, I know something. Wait, I know something. We didn't we commit a crime and now we're exiled to Rayclast, which is like this like bad place. And
dude,
then
that's way more than
like,
you know about Diablo, and you've played Diablo.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Let's go,
yeah,
dude.
Exactly. I mean, we did something. We're exiled to Rayclast, and Rayclast is bad, and Katava is bad. That's what I know.
You did it. Great job. You probably know more than 80% of people, so that's really good, dude. I love it. And then in Path of Exile 2, we still don't honestly know what's going on. We haven't finished the story, so you don't need to know anything there. Okay. Sin is good or bad. Maybe. We don't really know yet. I think we're going to kill him at the end. It'll be cool.
So that's what I was wondering. We get this hooded figure. I was like, oh, no, we shouldn't help him. He's like, I am Sin. It's like, that doesn't sound good either. I still don't think we should help him. Like, there's like there's a beast.
Yep.
Wait, there's a beast in a cage.
Yes.
And that guy cut the cart so the beast could run away or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. So the beast and the girl could get away, you know?
Yeah.
Orianna is her name.
Orianna. Okay.
Orianna. Yep. It's very interesting. Lots of stuff going on. You know what, Rax? When the full story comes out, we should do a lore stream together. It'll be great.
Okay. Okay, I'll just listen and I'll just ask you questions. It'll be beautiful.
You should do an MS Paint of the lore. Dude, people would eat that up. Oh my God. Oh, you should 100% do that for Path of Exile. I think okay. That'd be genius. So
okay. If you train me on the lore, I'll do the abbreviated version in Paint. We can do that.
Okay. I actually need to do this now. Okay. So write this down 1 second. Okay. Written down. We're good.
Okay.
It's gonna happen in the future. Okay.
So lore. If it's written down, it's gonna happen.
It is. I write everything in my notebook, okay? Everything in my little notebook right here. I have like 20 of these for Path of Exile. Yep.
It's organized.
Okay. I try very hard. So, Act 3, favorite boss, Doriani so far. Is there any boss that you just hate? It's just bad?
If we're talking mechanics, I can think of a couple of them. The one that I think absolutely must change is the Queen of Filth.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it tastes better than they look. No, but the problem is her little roly bob smash, like, you know, it's coming. So you're standing there and she starts rolling at you and then you roll perpendicular to the attack to dodge it. And then she has this like way bigger than you would expect gigantic hitbox, and it just drags you to the edge of the map and you just die. You just get hit by it. And I was just like, every time I fight her, every time she has that roly poly attack, I'm like, who made the hitbox on this? So I'm never going to forgive Grinding Gear Games for that. I don't know. That's the one that pisses me off the most by
far. That's interesting, man. Because when I fought her, the jiggle physics were distracting me. So I wasn't even watching the mechanics. It was just, I was just hitting her with the corner staff. She was going like blah, 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 all around and nothing. I killed her. Not my mind.
Nice and easy. And then
in maps though. I think she's also, is she the Meyer boss? I can't remember.
She, no. I think
she, She might be.
I think you encounter her somewhere. And
you do. You do. And she killed my ass the first time. With that first attack, she just bounced on me and I died.
Dude, the hitbox and the dragging there, I don't know. I'm going to have nightmares about that for a long time. And then the boss, I believe it's in Act 2, with the three seals that disappears. You have to find her and like the poison thing. I get it. It's like a cool mechanic, but it's pretty brutal and unforgiving. I'm like, I am not having fun here grinding gear games.
Yeah, Balbala, she's tough. Can you? So my dad, also, by the way, he watches your content. Loved you for Diablo 4. He got stuck on that boss for an hour and a half because he could not figure out the poison. And I told him, he texted me. He was like, what's going on? I can't kill this boss. The poison appears and I just slowly die. And I'm like, yeah, you just got to look for the boss. Just go in a circle and you'll find her. It's fine.
I actually panicked when I fought her. I was like, chat, what do I do? And they're like, go find her. I'm like, how do you guys know that? Like, how did you know that? But yeah, you guys are right. Fun fact, we did the, I don't know if you watched it, but we did the Samsung racing competition. It was me and Ben against, that boss was the only boss that wiped Ben and I. She killed us both.
Oh, that's so good. Did you guys end up winning that? I know somebody had God RNG. Was that you guys?
It was us. The gods smiled upon our voyage, as they say. We had insane gear, so it was, it wasn't really fair. It was fun.
Very nice. Very nice. That. How do you think, so just totally off topic, how do you think that racing will look for Path of Exile 2? I know you weren't hard into Path of Exile 1 until recently, but I think you did try out some of like the gauntlet events and everything. Do you think it'll be interesting in the style of the game that it is, with the campaign being so harsh, at least on that first playthrough, if you don't twink gear?
Oh, I'm 100% sure on this. You and I have been around a while. We don't need a crystal ball here. We know exactly what's going to happen. It's the same thing that happens in every game. The players are going to figure it out. Yep. The Tai killers, the Havocs, the Bens. They're just gonna run through everything with almost nothing, and they're just gonna win, and they're just gonna post incredible times, and they're just gonna get it done because that's what the players of these games do. They figure it out. So I think there's already like, I heard like a 43-minute Act 1 starting fresh, like SSF, which is if I heard that correct, which is absolutely mind-boggling. The community is going to figure it out 100%. Oh, yeah. They're going to fly for sure.
Havoc has around a 5-hour playthrough so far of Acts 1 through 3, normal and cruel, while on a treadmill. So it's going to be really interesting to see what they come up with. I think that a lot of people are worried that this campaign will be too long and draining after their first playthrough, which for me, man, I think it took me 38 hours or 40 hours to get to endgame or something like that. No way it's going to take that long. And I don't know. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like it's too hard and too long right now? I feel like in your review, you may have mentioned it being a little bit too long right now, but I might be misremembering. I've watched a lot in the past few days.
Whenever I approach a question like that, is the game too hard or not? I think it all boils down to nothing to do with what I personally think. Mm-hmm. If you make it as hard as, I don't know, Elden Ring or the Elden Ring expansion, or you make it as easy as Mario Kart or whatever. Actually, Mario Kart at the highest level is actually very difficult.
It's insane, dude. Yeah.
Right. I watched that. Beck Abney. I watched all of his world records on YouTube. But anyway, you can make it as hard as you want, or you can make it as easy as you want, and I'll play it happily either way. I think it all comes down to grinding gear games. Mm-hmm. What is their goal? Sometimes from the path of people who have played Path of Exile for a long time enjoy that they have so much knowledge and skill at a difficult game that they have, and they've built a mastery. They have an advantage over other people. And it pays off for them league after league after league. A lot of them want Path of Exile 2 to keep that difficulty, if not ramp it up. That way they can continue to find success in that way, or some people just enjoy those kinds of games, or both, or there's other reasons or whatever. But I think a goal for grinding your games should be new player acquisition, not at the expense of not making the game that they are envisioning. But if you make the game so impossible for people, if you turn it into a Dark Souls game, you will 100% alienate a portion of the audience. And then, again, a lot of people say, that's totally fine. Get them out of here. We don't want to be playing Path of Exile 2. I don't think that is such a smart mentality for grinding gear games. So this is the way that I approach it. If I was in grinding gear games and I'm trying to make the game that I want to make it as difficult as I want to make it, but I also want to bring players into the game and feel like they can play PoE 2, which I should say, by the way, they've already done a lot of nice things to already make that happen. I think what you do is you ease up on the gas at the beginning of the campaign. You make Act 1 a little bit easier. You give them a little bit more drops. You make the bosses have 10% less HP, or you be a little bit more lenient on their telegraphs. Let people get into the game, get some items, get their build going. And again, it's kind of like we talked about earlier about learning a concept. Let those building blocks be established. And then if you want to make Path of Exile hard as shit, pardon my French, put the difficulty later. And that way, all the people that are salivating for their knowledge and their effort and their time to pay off, it will. Act one being a little bit easier will not hurt that demographic while also boosting retention for people who actually enter the game. So that would be, if I was advising grinding your games, that would be probably the way that I would approach it. Ease up a little bit at the beginning of the campaign, and you can make the rest of the game as hard as you want if you let people get their build online.
I think that's a good approach. As I've played through the full game now, almost the full game now, I haven't faced the pinnacles yet, I've realized that the curve, at least in my opinion too, needs to be adjusted. I feel like at the beginning it might be a little bit too tough, and then as you hit Cruel right now, and then end game, I at least felt like a god almost instantly in Cruel, and it was shocking to me seeing my character trudging through Acts 1 through 3. It was very difficult, very visceral, very different from PoE 1. And then once I hit Cruel, I deleted bosses in 5 seconds. Then I got into early Waystones, and the same thing was happening to all the mobs. And I thought that would be adjusted as I got further and further. And even though the bosses are now tougher in T15s, I'm still deleting almost everything. And I am by no means a master build creator at all. I literally, like I said at the top of the talk, I just plugged stuff together that I thought worked well. I haven't done any optimizations. I don't have great gear, any of that. So I feel like what Grinding Gear Games needs to do, like you said, they need to take a step back. They need to look at what they want their game to be and what their what the grand new audience also wants. I think we're still at like 300,000 plus concurrents almost a month in, which is crazy daily on Steam. Wild. And adjust the curve little by little. I really hope that they take their time with these big changes. I hope they don't just make a massive shift. They might, because it's early access, but I really hope they don't instantly, you know, drop all mob HP by 40% or something in Act 1. That'd be crazy. I think like 10%, that's way better. 5-10%, way better. I hope they don't suddenly make maps way more difficult in the entry point and all that. I really hope that they're fine with experimenting and fine-tuning. Even though I think a lot of people are rallying for those large changes to happen fast, I still respect that. I think this is probably what their initial vision was. And I don't necessarily want them to just kick it to the curb that fast. And I know that might sound like I'm like shilling or standing for grinding gear games. I'm not. I just, once they always, GGG always starts things really tough and then they nerf them, because you can't start low and then move it high. You can't start it easy and then move it harder. People will bounce way faster than if you do in the opposite direction. So It's a very tricky subject.
I think one thing that people forget is if you zoom way out and stop looking at any of the details, Grinding Gear Games has proven that they're pretty good at making video games. Yeah. They can make video games. So we honestly don't really need to tell Grinding Gear Games what to do. It's almost like just by playing, we just need to give them the telematics. We need to give them the data, and they will be able to make the adjustments. I completely agree with you when you said, I don't want any drastic changes. There aren't any things like, I can't think of too many. I can think of a couple, but I can't think of too many things that just absolutely don't work at all. We saw from the verbiage in Grinding Gear Games patches where they said, we really can't move these things too much, or like you said, you can't go the other way. The community won't allow you to. They'll just complain. Yeah. I think Grinding Gear Games knows that these drastic changes, first of all, they're not going to do it, and they're also just not needed. I think people underestimate how tiny little adjustments here or there, especially if you make a couple of them, compound into something much better. Like in Act 1, if you're getting 1 to 2 more yellows before you get to a boss, that's significant. That's multiple mods that you had. It might be life, it might be a resist here or there, and it starts to make a lot of difference. We don't need 40% nerfs to bosses or anything like that, unless it's maybe in the end game. And I think that Grinding Gear Games' goal is, in a normal playthrough, that when you're fighting the boss, it is some kind of an experience. Yeah. And on every single one of my builds, again, never having played the game, and I did not follow any build guides like you, I made my own. Every single experience in cruel difficulty, I pretty much just insta-deleted them without even seeing any mechanics. Certainly not all of their even full move sets a single time. And I don't think Grinding Gear Games is going to go for that. I wouldn't be surprised to see them give you better gear, and maybe they even ease up a little bit on the trash mobs and the elites, and then they make the bosses higher HP so you actually experience a boss fight. But these are things I'm not really worried about, because Grinding Gear Games knows how to make video games. They're getting a lot of data from us. What I've seen from them so far has been always moving things in a better direction. I have no reason to be worried about anything.
Yeah, I think those are all good takes. And by the way, I think in your last video, you mentioned wanting to talk to them. I'll rally to make that happen, bro. I'll say something. I'll be like, Rax really wants to talk to you guys. I think that'd be such a good chat. I think it would be so good.
We should both talk to him, man.
Hopefully they go on like another tour. Maybe February, March, before that next big patch comes out.
That's such a good word for it. A tour. I saw them interviewing everybody. I'm like, I want to ask them questions. I want to talk to Grinding Gear Games.
Did you send them an email? You should send them an email. I know you say you send Blizzard your feedback.
They did ask for my feedback with the document. I don't know if you saw it.
They did. Yep, I did.
Yeah. I sent them the document. So at least they read that.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was nice.
That's so good, man. Let's talk about the end game, and then I have to ask you about something else. I'm sure you know what it's going to be. So
I don't know.
We just talked about Diablo 4 for like half a second, so maybe I have to ask a little bit about Diablo 4 at the end of this chat.
You can ask me anything, man.
Awesome. So end game so far. Obviously, there's a lot that can be altered. It's bare bones right now. They're the most basic of things, which obviously are going to come into the game, like a Waystone tab. Please, Grinding Gear Games, Waystone tab. I need it now. You should see my tab. Here's a great question. Do you organize your Waystones, or are you just fling them in?
I don't know. I guess the answer would be both. We need the tab. I organize like the 14s and the 15s very specifically, because that's like how you actually play. The rest of them I just vomit into a giant quad tab. I'm starting quad tab number 2. And my patience for it is dwindling by the moment. I honestly think tomorrow I've had enough. I think I'm just going to sell every single one that's like below T13. I'm like, sorry, I don't know. I've had enough of this.
Yeah, I feel like that's coming into the game pretty darn soon. It must have just not been ready for early access release. again, because it's just a new mechanic that they've been building into the game. But
can I share a conspiracy theory with you that I got from chat?
Don't tell me it's they want you to buy more quad tabs. Is it what it is?
Well, kind of like that, but not. You're on the right track.
Oh God, here we go.
Here's the conspiracy theory. They purposely did that. That way people understand the importance of the tab and it will raise the percentage of players who buy the tab.
Ooh, hey, that is an idea and it would be very smart.
But I think I can counter that. And here's why. If you hadn't done this, let's say you hadn't done this and you had just released the tab, anyone who didn't buy the tab in that situation would also immediately realize how unbelievably mandatory it is anyway. So I don't think that they have introduced a new variable that should increase purchasing. So I don't think that's it, but that's the conspiracy theory that I keep hearing.
It is such a simple thing, though. It's crazy that they just don't have a T1 to T15 waystones. You just slot them in just like maps. I don't know. That's pretty simple, dude.
Oh, it's simple.
But you know what? You brought a conspiracy theory to the table. I've seen the same dude in chat spamming, ask Rax about the conspiracy theory with the corpses. Ask him. Don't be afraid. Why would I be afraid? Let's go into this. Rax, I ran a tower last night before bed.
Mm-hmm.
I took a screenshot of the corpses and I posted it to Twitter and DM mocked me, you know, said, oh, I just did this for 15 hours, dude. Don't even give it a go. Or yeah, you should totally give it a go. So what did I do this morning when I got up with my daughter and she went back to sleep? I went one screen away. First citadel right in the direction of the corpse. So I don't know. It seems confirmed to me. What do you think about the corpse theory?
So my background is in mathematics and stats. That's what I studied in college. So I think about this in a very specific way than other people would. My overall conclusion, I've heard a lot of conspiracy theories. The corpses only plug tablets with one mod, clear the corruption around it, follow the water. There's more. I think all of it is complete and utter nonsense. I think it's 100% confirmation bias. I think it's just random. That's my, I don't come to any other conclusion. I have ran so many maps. I have four characters above level 90, and I found one citadel following every single conspiracy theory. I'm very much in DM's side where everything is a bunch of complete and utter nonsense.
I totally agree with you, man. It's so funny what people are doing to try to figure out where the citadels are. They need to add an arrow because people are going crazy, dude. I can't believe it. Somebody on my Discord posted like a screenshot with like 12 different arrows going in all these different directions of what you're supposed to follow. It's just crazy.
When it was hot off the press, when I heard the corpse theory, I was doing a tower and my chat was watching, okay. And then I walked up the stairs. I'm like, all right, let's look at the bodies. The bodies were pointing in every cardinal direction except left. I mean, I was just looking at chat. I was like, nice theory, guys. So, okay, so you're saying if I go any direction except left, that I'm going to get a citadel. And guess what? I got absolutely nothing. So,
oh, you just, okay, it's that meme of the dude digging for diamonds. And he stops just before he finds the diamonds, man. You just got to clear one more screen, okay? Just one more screen.
One more tower.
That screen. It's one more tower, okay, dude?
One more tower.
What do you think they should do with towers? Because I feel like they must know that they're very repetitive. And I think if they add some extra mechanic, like a boss or something to them, it'd be something that people look forward to instead of something that people are just like, all right. Another tower, let's go. Do it. Yeah.
If I had to pick, if I was doing like a tier list and I was ranking something, and I remember how we talked about earlier how everything in the game is all right. You just need minor adjustments.
Yeah.
If I were to pick one thing, any facet of the game that is completely and totally wrong in every way that it exists, it would be towers. I think it's the most broken, worst thing in the game. Now, I completely agree with you. The goal should be you arrive at a tower, you're excited. That's never how it actually is.
Yeah.
And it's actually everything you could think about, you could think of about a tower doesn't work. First of all, it has a stagnant layout. It's always just these narrow hallways into rooms that are covered with the roofs that you can't even see where you're going. Like, okay, if you're running with your lightning arrow, Dead Eye Ranger, and you're killing stuff like three screens ahead of you and you just don't care, that's fine. But what if you're playing like a warrior and they're like, huh, I have to actually think about before I go into that room and you can't even see, and it's always that same map? I think that's a problem. The density is horrible. There are never any events. The entire second floor needs to be completely removed. The fact that you have to keep going to towers, click the stairs, walk around, walk across the thing, click the thing to finish the map, completely unacceptable. Everything about it doesn't work. Even the fact that you are incentivized to plug your lowest level map with no mods, just to run through it, just to plug the precursors. So the only thing for me that can stay with towers is the basic idea of it and the basic functionality of it, of you path to it, and it's where you plug your precursor and it gives you vision. The very, very base idea there is good with me. Like, people are calling for them to be removed. I don't think you need to remove them, but I do think you need to completely reimagine everything about how they're designed to come up with the final thing of, you said, you need to make me excited to reach a tower, not dread it.
Yeah. I wish that Path of Exile 2 would implement some sort of boss rushing system, because I'm just wanting more of those boss fights, dude. It was such a shock to the system to go from the campaign to the end game, in which I think I've fought like 30 bosses so far. And then in the campaign, every zone was a cool boss fight. I want more of that. I wonder if, you know, the Maven's Crucible, maybe the towers could have a few different bosses that you fight in them instead. Like, they're just singular boss fights. You know, maybe it's three random bosses or 1d4 random boss, something really cool, something random, something that you're like, ooh, what am I going to get in this tower? Like, that'd be such a cool moment to go into that. Instead of right now, it's like that one unique map in Path of Exile 1, Pillars of Arun. I saw somebody compare the towers to running that map every time you want to use a sextant or something, which is rough, very rough.
So, go ahead. Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off, to touch on exactly that. Exactly what you described was the phenomenon that surprised me. It was like at least an early decision in the end game made by Grinding Gear Games, and I'm really surprised that they went for it. Grinding Gear Games in the ARPG space is good at making bosses. They're good at making really memorable encounters. They're really good about building the ladders up to the bosses. They're good about sneaking in. They're good about adjusting the difficulty of them. Like, some of them are pretty easy. Some of them are almost impossible. You're never going to beat them. They're talented in this space. In PoE 1, to beat a map, you had to beat a boss. It makes sense. I mean, we've been having this since Mario, right? You beat Bowser and you beat the map, right? It's been around forever. And then somehow Grinding Gear Games went from, nah, we're going to put a boss here sometimes, but really all you have to do is kill the elites, and we'll show you where the elites are at some point after you've already walked 500 miles this way, and then you got to walk 350 miles backwards to get this one elite that you missed. Some people really like that. Some people are like, God, I can't stand the bosses. I don't want a boss in every map, and that's fine, but the whole idea of it conceptually to me, especially since Grinding Gear Games is good at making bosses, I don't know why they did that. I don't know why they moved away from what they were originally doing. If I were at Grinding Gear Games and they were suggesting that, I would have doubled down on, as you said, more bosses. Because, and another thing about Path of Exile 2 versus Path of Exile 1 for me, when I'm farming in PoE 1, I'm expecting all of my loot to come from the map. I'm expecting, like, when I'm running around with my tornado shot ranger, I'm going to get all the divines in the map. In PoE 2, they've much more incentivized me to kill rares and bosses. and then you took out the boss out of the map, you just made me mad, man. Where are my bosses at?
Especially because every time someone asks Jonathan, including myself, what's the best thing about Path of Exile 2? What are you most excited for? What are players going to most love about playing the game? Every single time, he would say, the boss fights. And then you get out of the campaign, and you don't fight any bosses. Come on, Grindy. There has to be a reason that they did this, and I just can't think of it. My very first map was Augury, and it's the lever map. I'm sure you already know that. And I had a shocking revelation. I was like, oh my god, I am in launch Diablo 4 right now. Every map better not be like this, where I have to, you know, go pull these levers and then go find these monsters, and I have to go around in this big circle and then backtrack. This just happened with D4, and rightly so. Blizzard changed it. They completely changed that system. Big W from Blizzard.
Yes.
I hope that Grinding Gear Games learns from Blizzard with this initial implementation of some of the mapping systems. And if they're dead set on like making maps different, I think that's okay. I think they just really need to have a second go at the layouts and add some more objectives and make sure there's not so much backtracking and really everything to do with that initial endgame implementation. Besides the bosses, because I like fighting the bosses. I mean, we've got like Magic Find, we've got... Yeah, see, I feel like it's a lot of the systems in Endgame. The Endgame is very pretty. The Endgame has a very good skeleton. I feel like it just needs a few extra building blocks on it to really turn it into something that I rated the Endgame like a 5 out of 10. Campaign, 10 out of 10. Endgame was 5 out of 10 for me. Biggest GGG shill there is, okay? Nobody is a bigger shill than I am. 5 out of 10. I just feel like there's a lot more to go, but they know that. So I feel like an ass for pointing it out, because I feel like they know. Like, they're really smart, like you said. They know how to make games. So, I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you said. I'm really not worried about it at all. The end game is definitely the weakest point. And luckily, a lot of the player base probably isn't even there. They're probably still trudging their way through the campaign. It's not so easy. I'll tell you two things that I've never seen work in ARPGs ever. Never in any patch, never with any implementation. They're always almost universally hated by everybody. And this first one, I'm talking specifically about the end game. Campaign can be different. When you're doing an end game in an ARPG, if you're going to slow me down for no reason, everybody hates that. So the pulling the lever slowly to open the door, that's fun in the campaign one time, no problem. Yeah. Do a different playthrough on a twink, don't really like it, but we can suffer through it there. When you put it as a repeatable map, you can't do it. It doesn't work. And like you said, Blizzard had to completely change the whole thing. Yeah. Now the fact that you pick up the pedestal, or you pick up the stone, you take it to the pedestal instantly, it's more fun to run Nightmare Dungeons than it was before.
Yeah.
The other thing that does not work at all, any implementation, everybody hates it, is when you put traps in a ARPG. Traps can be fun, like in Zelda, when you're trying to figure out like a puzzle, like, oh, how do I open the water temple? And you're sitting there trying to figure it out. Or you're in Elden Ring and trying to find like a secret room, and how do I go do this? But whenever people, like, for example, when I do the Trial of Sekhmuz, when I see that spinning fire thing, I'm just like, oh, why did I pick this room? I just want to do the room where I kill the guys that are standing by the portal, where I want to go do the chalice and just kill the three elites and just let me move on with my life. When Diablo 4 tried the trap season, it was just hated. Everybody hated it. It's just like, oh. So if... I hope that Grinding Gear Games and really all the developers really stop, take those things out and stop trying to implement them in ARPGs. Their time spent, rather than trying to, how do I take this idea that everyone hates and finally make it work? I think your time is much better spent doing other things and making other cool things. I think everyone's going to hate it no matter what.
Yeah. And they've shown they can innovate and keep innovating over and over. So just focus on those cool new ideas instead of trying to reinvent the wheel in a way that players will enjoy it. The evolution of Labyrinth is one example. And I know we've been going for a little over an hour now. Are you good to talk a little bit longer, Axe?
Sure.
Okay. Trials of Ascension. I know that people dislike them. I know it. It's a very interesting debate, and I was so happy to hear you have a nuanced take on it. I think it's exactly what Grinding Gear Games is thinking in their head. They want it to be tough. They want you to have to fight for your ascendancy. Lots of people do not want that in the game. How do you come to a common point here? Like, how do you come in the middle when obviously they don't want to hand it to you? But lots of people really want it to be, it's like the lab, okay? Everybody was annoyed with the lab. The lab was just like, here, we're doing the lab. It's not that hard. It's just an extra thing we got to do. It was easy. It was just a thing on a checklist. I truly feel, especially with my last point, not so much my first three, but my last point, this is like a pinnacle encounter. This is very difficult. And I think you said it perfectly in your last video. With GGG needs to figure out, do they want everybody to be able to get that last point? Or is this something they only want non-casuals or, you know, non-people who are really investing time into the game to be able to get? Really interesting question. I just wanted to talk about it a little bit more. What do you think is the right approach? I know in your video you were saying, here's the ground. But what would you prefer if you had your way? Would you make it easier? Would you keep it the same? I'm curious.
It's a good question. Okay.
Yeah. So, I buried it deep in this video. So, you know, 80% of the people won't reach this point. So they'll never know what you're going to say, Rax. Okay. That's fine.
That's okay. I mean, if we can't answer the hard questions, then what's the point? What's the point of being here? So the first thing that I would say is some of the things that really bother me about the way that it currently works is, and they've tried to adjust this. Give you an example. I failed. I have two fails on my fourth run, and they might not be to what you would think they were. I got to the fourth boss, but the fourth floor in one of the rooms. And one of the, you know, the big skeleton, the, I don't know if they're skeletons or gold, the really skinny, like big guys that raise it and then they slam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So they hit my monk, not even the damage. My monk didn't die, but they hit me for 5,000 honor with honor res capped. I was 75 honor res. They hit me for 5,000 honor. So when I see something like that, a huge part of my frustration is I don't think like the calculations are exactly right. So first of all, we need to make that, like, I can't take no damage, no damage, no damage, no damage, 5,000 honor worth of damage.
Yeah.
That shouldn't even be allowed to happen. Another example, the major and the minor boons are horrifically miscalculated. As an example, Floor one of the four things, I didn't even pigeonhole myself. I had two rooms that I could go to in the next room. Fine. I complete the room. I pick one of the two. Okay. I go forward. I beat that room. And then whichever room I would have taken actually of the two, it was always leading to a singular room. And the room said, you remove your energy shield. I was playing Chaos Inoculation. I have one life.
Crazy,
so
man.
I actually had to reset on a minor affliction that was forced upon me from two different ways, actually completely bricked my entire run. So, and then final example, I finally got to the fourth floor and I had to like make a decision, and it says your next minor boon turns into a major boon. I'm like, I don't even know what a major boon is. That sounds amazing. I pathed specifically to get a minor boon, and I read my major boon. I had 13,000 honor with my monk. It's the one that I failed. And I looked up, I read my major boon. Every time you complete a room, you gain 40 honor. And I just sat there in bewilderment. The major boon is 40 honor per room completion. So to go back to your original question, how do I think grindy gear games should shift the difficulty? The first thing is I think they need to smooth out the process as it is before we could make an informed decision. If the major boons were actually major, if I don't get pigeonholed into a minor affliction that's remove armor or remove evasion or remove energy, that is a devastating, that the penalty is either completely devastating that you can't take it, or it's insignificant and you can do it. There really is hardly any in between unless you're doing some hybrid stuff, which I guess some builds do. We need so much more fine tuning before we can see if how the experience actually feels. And then to more directly answer your question, to not give you such a wishy-washy answer, I think one thing you have to consider when designing a game is what would the player expect? Now, the POE veterans or the POE 1 veterans are going to hate me even mentioning this, but what would a more casual gamer expect out of the game? Would they expect to be able, within a season, to reach their fourth ascendancy? I think that they would. I don't think that they would necessarily think that they could beat T4 of any boss. I would probably expect them to think that they could find the three citadels and maybe beat the pinnacle boss round one. But I do think completing your ascension will be a key piece in a lot of casual gamers' journey when they play these seasons. With the way that it's currently tuned, that's absolutely not what's going to happen. You need max honor resist. You need big honor charms. You have to play extremely well. You have to memorize boss mechanics. You have to have blink on your weapon swap or at least 30 movement speed after you get through the entire thing. You have to dodge the 5,000 hits. You have to dodge the no energy shield afflictions. I think the current iteration of it is too difficult for a launch for how the average person would expect their character's progression to be.
I think that's a very fair take. And I agree there's a lot of minor changes that needs to be made before a final decision on like how difficult it really is can be said, like all these bugs and odd interactions and the fact that minor afflictions take away all defenses. Those should be major afflictions, 100%. You should never randomly have that occur to a player. Like you said, you had the worst scenario, the chaos inoculation. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That could be a quit moment for someone. They'd probably just be like, screw this game. I'm out of here. What is this? Seriously. So, and for the ultra casual player, I use my dad as the example because he is the ultra casual player, even though he is blasting very hard right now. I don't know what's overtaken him with PoE 2.
But it's Christmas break, man.
Dude, he's going. He's level 67 on his monk now. Holy crap. And he has a level 30 warrior. He hated the warrior. Man. He has a level 32 ranger.
Dude, he's not ranger. A casual, man. He's blasting.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Like, usually he's very, very casual. And he'll call me and be like, yeah, so I just killed a Triceratops. Reminded me of your YouTube channel. I just killed him in the Trial of Chaos. Just ascended. Got my second ascendancy. And I'm like, what? But you just started your monk yesterday, Dad. What are you doing? He's already got a second ascendancy. He's like going. He's 60. But I still go back to him because I don't think he's going to be able to do the fourth floor. I hope he proves me wrong. Yeah. But because of all the things that you need to put together to overcome that challenge, to fully unlock your character, your direct character power, because it's not like in your gear. It's not, it's like tied directly to your class and everything. So to max out that character, to do that, you got to beat that fourth floor. I don't think he'll be able to do it. And I really hope he will be able to do it. And I hope they do make changes that allow people like that to do that. I agree with you on the T0 bosses, being able to kill them. I don't know if I'll be able to, hopefully. But with the RNG system, you just might not be able to. You've been blasting and you still haven't fought the pinnacle. See, that sucks.
I only have one citadel, and when you find a citadel, it's not even guaranteed that you have to find all three unique citadels. You could find iron, 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 iron. And if you fail in the citadel, it moves, it goes away. So you cannot fail, and you have to get all, it's not three citadels, it's the three unique citadels.
Right, true. And by the way, after we talk, I'm trying my first citadel. No, I don't have my fourth ascendancy. Okay.
So I don't I I don't have any spoilers for you, but if I can give you a word of encouragement, no Please. Spoilers. If you're doing T15 maps, you I think you'll be able to do the Citadel. I wouldn't worry too badly. I think you'll do it.
And it's my favorite boss in the game, Count Geonor, the wolf. So,
oh yeah, the so poetry. Good.
The yeah. poetry, man. They cooked so hard on that fight. I still think it's the peak fight in the game. I've done everything except the Zesht fight, the Breach boss, and the Pinnacle. That is the peak fight in the game for me. Hands down. Everything about it is perfect. The build-up, the dialogue, the environment, the moveset, all the well-telegraphed. Him calling Orianna a whore as he's going. I love the dichotomy between the Act 1 boss, where he's like, "You whore, how dare you betray me?" And then freaking Jamanra is like, "Get away, my love. I will save you." And he chops the caravan in half. He's like, "Get out of here. I hope I can say." It's so funny, the dichotomy between the two.
Grinding your games is good at making bosses, man.
Oh, it's, yeah, dude.
It's an experience, really.
It is an experience. And we're about to experience quite a bit more in these next 6 to 12 months, man. So to round us out here, one more PoE2 question, then one D4 thing to close us out.
Okay.
Which class or mechanic are you really looking forward to arrive in PoE2 in these next 6 to 12 months? Any one thing that stands out to you in particular?
So I like a little bit of everything. So okay. I'm going to play everything. I like everything. So I, again, really for me, like people say like, "Oh, Raxus says this because he's like cringe or whatever." It's like, no, it's actually true. The thing that would make me the happiest is if the community is happy. I want everyone to log in PoE and have a lot of fun. I think the demographic that feels the worst is melee. Like monk is pretty strong, not really the monk players, but a lot of the warrior players, and I know warrior gets there, of course. Everybody always says, "No, when you invest 300 hours into your warrior and you have 100 divine character, you can do 1 million DPS. What are you talking about?" But that's like top 1%. The yep. general playthrough of the warrior is what I hear people are like the most dissatisfied with. So what I would be looking for grinding gear games is a little bit more of like melee love, especially because I think Preparing has some very nice videos about how armor was a big problem in PoE1, same kind of problems, and like melee is not feeling like they're having the greatest time. So if that gets fixed, I think a lot of the other things already feel really good.
Okay. Yeah, I'm hoping for the druid to come in. Doing a little bit more than 17 damage. Maybe the werebear slamming on the ground. You know, werewolf, some melee attacks too.
Absolutely.
Would be really fun. I can't wait for that. I was disappointed in Diablo 4's druid. I really wanted it to be fun. I didn't necessarily like it. I didn't like Last Epoch's druid either, to be fair. So I'm really hoping that Grinding Gear Games nails the druid in PoE2. Because nothing has really scratched the itch like my childhood memory of playing druid in Diablo 2. And that is hard.
Tornado druid, is that what you played?
Tornado druid. I played, that was like the class that I played when I was a kid.
Oh yeah.
So I did I was never like a hardcore grinder on the game. I wasn't a casual, but I was just playing the game. I wasn't racing. I was just like making my own stuff, trying to, like, I remember one time we were driving to Florida when I was like 10 years old and I downloaded Diablo 2 on laptop. And I was like, "Oh, okay, let's see how far I can get in this 23-hour road trip," right? And I made a skeleton necromancer, and I could not beat Duriel. Oh, God. Bashed my head against Duriel for hours as we're driving there, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I was so mad at myself. It's okay. I made a druid while in Diablo. In Florida, and was able to down everything in the campaign. So, you know, as always, druid powerful. So
couldn't kill Duriel, but you have that long-lasting memory, and that's worth its weight in gold. That's worth more than killing
100%. Yeah, I remember not cursing, but being very angry in the car as I just died over and over to Duriel. So,
yeah,
it's a good fight. Oh, Duriel. Love Duriel in Diablo 2. Diablo 4. So just to close us out with this mainly PoE2 and food-centric interview.
Sure.
Where do you think Diablo 4 goes from here. Obviously, the developers for Diablo 4, they've been playing PoE 2. They see a lot of the excitement around that game. Last Epoch has its next big update in April, so it's kind of slowed down a little bit. Really, the two real titans right now, obviously, are Diablo 4. And I would say PoE 2 just because of the raw number of people who have now been exposed to it. Not nearly on the level of Diablo 4, but a lot of eyes are on it. What do you think Blizzard will take away from that, if anything? Because one of the things they've done best for so many decades is steal what other games do and do them better. One great example recently is Dragonflight with World of Warcraft. I don't know if you've played Guild Wars 2 before, but they have a mount, a flying mount called the Skyscale. Blizzard literally ripped the Skyscale and the Griffin from Guild Wars 2, implemented it in Dragonflight, and players were like, oh my god, this is the best mount ever. This is the greatest system of all time. And I've been playing Guild Wars 2 since 2012, and I'm like, bro, that's been in this game for so long, and it's actually really good. So what do you think Blizzard could not necessarily rip, but just use as inspiration from PoE 2, if anything at all, for their audience that they have in Diablo 4? Very long-winded question.
Okay, I'm going to answer it in two parts.
Go for it.
I'm going to tell you something that... So Path of Exile 2's endgame, as we've discussed so far, is not the strongest. It's not as strong as Path of Exile 1's endgame. Mm-hmm. So I think one thing that PoE 2 is showing that we've been telling Blizzard and Diablo 4 would make the game better, that they just will not do. They have been very against it. Where it might actually open it up, the design area, is their skill system is too basic. Now, I understand why they do it, because their target demographic is that big slice of the pie, the very, very casual gamers. That's who they want to appeal to. Mm-hmm. And something like that does appeal to them. But Path of Exile 2, taking a little bit of a simpler approach from PoE 1, but being much more complicated than Diablo 4, people really love it. People really like the different combinations of the skills that they can make.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that Blizzard might finally look at it, and people really liked it in Last Epoch as well, where everything had their own skill tree. They might actually sit down and say, okay, you want to know what? Actually, they're having so much fun with that, and it works in the campaign. We might actually need to make our skill twig a little bit more meaningful. But let me answer this a different way. If I'm being completely honest with you, and this is in no way me being pessimistic, I'm just telling you what I honestly think will happen.
Yeah.
I don't think Blizzard's going to change much of what they're doing, at least with Diablo 4. I think Diablo 4, in a lot of ways, probably didn't go the way that Blizzard wanted it to. Well, actually, we know that for a fact because they spent an entire year redoing almost every system that they had already built. And I think the main reason for that is internally, the team changed hands so many times. They don't have the vision necessarily, that the cohesiveness that grinding gear games has, because it's always the same people with the same vision moving forward. When it changes hands five times, you get kind of like a little bit more of a mess. It spent a year fixing it. And Diablo 4, I think in a lot of ways, kind of is what it is. And Diablo 4, it depends on how you would measure success, but you could say it's very successful because it sold a ton of copies and it makes a lot of money, which makes the shareholders happy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that Diablo 4 is going to go under any huge changes here. You could say maybe for Diablo 5, they're going to do something a little bit different, if there is going to be a Diablo 5. But the one takeaway that they've seen so far from PoE 2 is a little bit more complication with building your character works very well for all parties. But what I think will literally happen is almost no changes based upon what we've seen.
I do think that's, once again, a reasonable take. Here's something I keep bringing him up, because he played a lot of Diablo 4, way more than I did. My dad said Diablo 4 was harder than Path of Exile 2. But my dad also does like to fiddle with things, and he's been able to do that a lot with PoE 2. Like, it gives him that room to try to build onto something and cobble something together that's very powerful. Whereas, and I think like Diablo 4, that wasn't necessarily implicit in the system. Like you said, the skill tree isn't as deep as the skill system in PoE 2. And where I think a lot of the power seems to come from is like, and I don't haven't played a lot of Diablo 4. I've just watched videos on it mostly. Is the combinations with like the legendary items and certain affixes on those, and that really skyrockets your power. Yes. And for someone like my dad, and I think a lot of other people, people are interested in items, right? But then those base systems that interact with your character, like skills, they're just so universal, and being able to build up your power with them is something that I think a lot of people enjoy, and having many options within that also gives people a lot of enjoyment and satisfaction when he figures something out that works. Like the most simple thing is literally, you know, I think Frosty LaRue did this in his very first video that blew up, the fireball example. Just like, oh, what can I do with a fireball? Oh, I can do two things. Okay, great, cool. And the Last Epoch, you can do all these other things. And then Path of Exile, you can do all these other things with fire. And it's so cool when you find that combination that truly just clicks. It makes you feel smart, it makes you feel powerful, and it makes you want to find that next combination in the game that'll make you feel that way too. So yeah, it's very curious. I want D4 to do as well. I know people like trash on it in Path of Exile community, but I think a lot of people would want to have fun playing it. I think people just like playing games. I don't think that maybe some people are like, oh, Blizzard don't want to support Blizzard. But if the game was fun, I think a lot more people would just play the game, you know, if they enjoyed the game, right? I think.
Yeah, I think I had the same feeling that you do. Mm. I can understand why, like, let's take Blizzard as the example here. I could understand a reason why people would root against them. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's nostalgia. Oh, when I grew up, Blizzard was the king and Diablo 2 was the best, and now look at them. Or maybe they feel literally burned by them. Like, I paid $70 pre-order. Yeah. I expected this and I didn't get it. So there are some reasons, like some genuine reasons why people feel cheated and are actively rooting against them. But I don't feel that way because, like you said, I just like to play video games. And I like...
Yeah.
Grinding Gear games. I like 11th Hour Gaming. I like Blizzard. I like XD making Torchlight. I think Path of Exile 2 showing us their new version and having such a great early access just promotes competition, gets the wheels turning, and I hope it just pushes the other gaming companies just to make better games. So I don't know, man. I don't subscribe to this tribalism of I love this one and I hate mm-hmm. this one, and let's band together and talk shit about this particular company or game. Bro, if you don't like a particular game, just don't play it and play the other one, and it's all right.
I saw someone linked a video to me of a tiny content creator. I don't know if it was bait. Maybe it was bait. But they posted a video and they linked it in my Discord. So I was like, okay, I'll give it a chance. I click on it and it's somebody raging against PoE 2 after playing it for 300 hours. And I'm like, and saying they hated it. They hated the game. I don't know what makes people do this with ARPGs, but a lot of people like love to hate play ARP. I don't get it. If you don't like, just don't play it. Play something else that is enjoyable, like gaming. That is what it's entertainment at the end of the day. Like, you don't need to insert a whole bunch of drama into it. You don't need to play anything. You should do it as like a leisure thing, right? And if you're not enjoying it, don't force yourself to play it. You know, we've got like Diablo 2 Resurrected, which is from 20 years ago. People are still loving to play that. If that's what you really are yearning for and missing, go play that. It's fine. It's your life, your time. You don't need to play the newest, greatest thing just because it's new and great and many other people seem to love it, right? Just do you. Seriously.
It's, I mean, the analogy is exactly that. The analogy that I give is I don't like golf. I don't like to play golf. I don't like to watch golf. So you want to know what I do? I don't play golf and I don't watch golf. I don't go to golf forums. I don't watch golf YouTube channels. I just don't interact with it. People love it. That's fine. Awesome. I love that you love golf. I love that I don't love golf. It's okay. But it's weird. People say, well, no, Rax, it's not that simple. No, it is that simple. Like,
it is, man.
You hate, If you hate Diablo 4, why do you come to Diablo 4 and say how much you hate it? If you hate Path of Exile 2, why do you come around and say how much you hate it? It is that simple. Why do you do that? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's a great analogy, man. And this has been a great talk. Thank you so much, Rax, for coming onto the channel. I really, really appreciate it. Is there any final words you have about like Path of Exile 2 or to the community as my mic arm begins to fall on me for some odd reason? I don't know what's going on here. There we go.
It's a perfect time to end if the equipment is failing, but I do want to let you know, I have heard from a lot of different sources that people do consider you a pillar of the Path of Exile community. I know that it's very important to you. I know that the game and the channel and everything that goes on with it is super, super important to you. And that shows in the work that you put forward, man. So just keep doing what you're doing, man. And a lot of people really respect you and like you for that. You're doing a great job.
Thanks so much. Don't make me blush. Oh gosh, I got the lights red on my face, dude. Okay, I don't have a red shirt that can hide it. Come on. I was wearing the blue.
Kill the lights.
I was trying to wear the blue, but I was like, oh dang, I should have worn the red. But, you know, they're playing right now. Hopefully they're winning. I don't know. Don't spoil me, chat. Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. Like I said at the top, I've been watching you since Diablo 4 launched, and I watched like all your D3 videos when I really didn't play the game. So I really appreciate that that you shared that with me. And I hope we can talk sometime in the future again about PoE2, D4, whatever, man. It was a great chat. Food, Chipotle, ranking of some sort, the lore. I mean, there's a lot of different topics. This was a very chill chat, man.
I'm always around, man. I'm looking forward to it. Whenever you want to chat, send me a message. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, sounds good. This is going to be the cutoff for YouTube. Thank you all so much for watching. Make sure if you haven't already, we're an hour and a half in. Like the video if you liked it and subscribe to the channel and go check out Rax on YouTube or Twitch. Thank you all so much for watching. Talakura. All right. Thank you, Rax. I really appreciate it, man. That was a lot of fun.
Have a great night, man. I'm going to run because Sarah wants Chick-fil-A and they're closing soon. If I don't she's never going to forgive me.
Dude, go. Yeah, go for it. Have fun. Enjoy your food. Bye.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, man.
100%. See ya. W or L chat? I already know the answer. That was a hell of a lot of fun. I couldn't stop grinning. I literally could not stop grinning. I was having grinning problems. Oh, I gotta stand up. Oh, God. Oh. Diablo 4 chat is an L. I had to ask about Diablo 4. Thanks, Orax, for coming on.
You finally caught my attention.
Oh, Starcross Music, thank you so much for the sub, and thank you everyone who followed during that stream. Everyone from Rax's channel, thanks for tuning in.